So the title of the talk is Socio-ecological Prevention Landscapes and Seascapes in Biodiversity Conservation, a model for sustainable development. Before I go into the survey initiative proper, I'd like to set the stage first. First by introducing my organization, Conservation International. So CI was founded about 31 years ago. In the United States. It was founded as an international NGO and to realize a sustainable world. And we are a global network of local offices. We are present in about 30 countries and a staff size of 1,000 people. Working with 2,000 partners in over 30 countries currently, but throughout the history of CI, we have worked in 77 countries or so and helped establish more than 600 million hectares of protected areas or improve the management of those areas. These are some figures, prominent figures from our board of directors. Peter Seligman is the chair of the board. We have a vice chair, the actor, Harrison Ford. We have a very strong business focus and CEO of Walmart stores, Rob Wharton, is also on our board. And we also have policy anchor too. So Professor Ian Kama, Republic of Botswana, and the economist like Pavan Sukhdev, many of you may know as a study leader of the team, and other prominent figures. It's very fortunate. We're very fortunate to have them on board and be guided by them. So the CI was founded in 1987 as a conservation organization, and we did our work for conservation of biological diversity. In 2010, we come to the realization that we are winning the battle by losing the war. Even though we are successful in specific locations we work in, the development trajectory of the world is not pro-environment. We're losing a lot of natural capital biodiversity, even though there's a few success cases. So we changed our way of thinking, and we come to realize that we need to focus on development, and we need to develop sustainable world, achieve sustainable development through conservation of nature, conservation of biodiversity. So in 2010, we changed our mission, and changed our logos too. So in the past, it was nature focus, logo jungle, logo, to something more symbolic.
Underpinned by Green Development Path. And we use the slogan, people need nature to thrive. So this is a new mission. We build on strong foundation of science, partnership, and field demonstration. So science part is pretty clear, and we need to have an objective basis to work on the ground. And we do a lot of project, most of the project, in partnership. So IPSI, that I will introduce you later, is a good example. And also the project that we do with the partners, the donors, or the underground practitioners, everything we do is done through partnership. And we do a demonstration on the ground, so it's not just conceptual thing, but we implement on the ground and learn lessons from that experience. And we also demonstrate not just talking, but demonstrate on the ground so that people can learn what we mean and replicate in their own ground. NCI empowers society to responsibly and sustainably care for nature. our biodiversity, for the well-being of humanity. So our ultimate goal is to achieve, realize the well-being of humanity, and we get there through nature conservation. And closer to home, to my home, CI Japan, it's office in Japan based in Tokyo. We have a member of 9 full-time staff, and we have about 2 student interns annually. And corporate partnership is one of the characteristics of CI as a whole. We work with corporate partners, many of the corporate partners, and we work with Japanese corporation too at the CI Japan. Those are indicated by the Japanese flag there. So that was an introduction to my organization, and I'd like to set the stage for the Satoyama Initiative, which is, I do that by describing the international agreements on conservation. Most relevant and prominent one is the Convention on Biological Diversity, and 193 parties, I think I get the numbers right, 193 parties come to agreement that in 2010 that they will achieve these 20 goals by 2020, which is called Aichi targets. It is some biodiversity targets, but if you look at it closely, it's actually sustainable development targets. And when parties agreed on Aichi targets, at that very same conference, Satoyama Initiative was launched, and the International Partnership for the Satoyama Initiative was launched at one of the side events, and it's been active ever since. So Convention on Biological Diversity, Aichi targets are the very important vehicle driving conservation of biodiversity and sustainable development. Another important agreement is Paris Agreement on Climate Change. In 2015 in Paris, they come to agree that they will address the climate change issues regardless of whether you are developing countries or developed countries, or you are major emitter or minor emitters. Everyone needs to do their best to halt the increase of greenhouse gas emissions and address the climate change issues as one world. Unfortunately, the U.S. decided to leave the agreement, but they are still there. We hope they will decide to change their mind and then stay. And then 2015 still, there's another very important global agreement, global achievement in the sustainable development agenda is the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, or SDGs. It's a set of 17 goals, and it often displayed like this. But all these 17 goals are somehow, to some degrees, related to each other. So it's not just a menu that you can pick your favorite one and work only on that issues, but they are all related. You need to look at synergies and trade-offs. So Pavan Sukdev and Johan Rockström come to this visualization of interrelationship between SDGs. So most of the world leaders may be interested in economic development or the economic targets, but that's underpinned by societal development, society-related targets, and that is also supported or underpinned by biosphere or natural capital. So even if you are interested in, for example, target 10, you need to look at other targets that's related Even though it's an economic target, it has to look at the societal targets, and that's underpinned by biodiversity or natural capital. So they are not all independent, and they have to pay attention to other targets and look at the synergies and what impact your action will give to other targets or other sectors, other partners, and also what they are dependent on. So the dependencies and impact need to be viewed in this framework. And what's great about the SDGs is that it helps you see the linkages between and among the different goals and different interests. So regardless of you are economist or naturalist, you are in the same web of interrelated goals and targets, interests. So from the business world, it's also important to consider natural environment, and oftentimes it's referred to as natural capital. It's a stock of renewable and non-renewable natural resources that combines to yield a flow of benefits to people. So as a stock, you have biodiversity and minerals from nature, and that's a stock, and that provides that's considered as capital and provide interest in form of ecosystem services, which people use to run their business, improve their livelihood. So there's a lot of value. People attach a lot of value to the flow part, but it's important to consider that there's a stock that you need to maintain in order to sustainably keep the flow part. And it has been difficult for the businesses to see the linkages from their day-to-day operations and natural world. So the Natural Capital Coalition and the members of the Natural Capital Coalition come together and establish Natural Capital Protocol. That is a framework, standardized framework for businesses to identify measures and values, and the businesses to identify measure and value its direct and indirect impacts, dependencies on natural capital. And there are 9 steps that business can follow to see their impacts and dependencies on natural capital. And so there's a development under the Aichi targets and SDGs addressing natural capital aspect by different sectors. And this one is one example that's gaining a lot of momentum in the business field or private sector. So I'd like to take a few moments to look at what constitutes the impact to the environment. This is overly simplified ski formula, but I think it makes sense and suffice to establish the background for me to talk about Satoyama initiative. So total impact is per capita impact times population, and impact per capita and population, both two terms on the right hand side, has no ceiling. You can increase as much as you want. But on the capacity side, it's a capacity of the planet to hold that, to allow that growth. It's limited in the capacity per unit area times area. And capacity of the planet to hold the human impact per area is finite. And area, also, you have only one planet, so that's finite too. So then on one hand, impact aspect is growing exponentially, but you have only limited capacity. The planet has only limited capacity. If you look at ecological footprint and human development, this is a trajectory in the world countries are taking. So on the horizontal axis, x-axis, it's plotting human development, index, and the aspiration is to go from left to right. And on the vertical axis, that's the ecological footprint. So you'd like to stay as low in the chart as possible. But as you can see, as you increase the human development, there's a tendency to go up on the graph. So as you develop the human aspect, human well-being, ecological footprints goes up. And that's a universal issue. Almost all countries following that trajectory. The big red circle at the top, on the right-hand side, that's US, and the red dot beneath that is Canada. Japan is somewhere in the middle, on the green. But many of the African countries are in this displayed in yellow, in the middle to the left of the graph. So they still need to develop and move toward right, but then the global challenge is to achieve that movement to the right without going up, increasing the ecological footprint. So this is one graph that shows that we need to change the development path in order to have a sustainable world for everyone. On another aspect, on population growth, population is growing exponentially. It's expected that by 2050, the population will reach like 9 billion or more. And in this one, there's no sign of slowing. So the population aspect is something very few people talk about, but someday we definitely need to address that. So there's a changing balance between the planet's capacity to absorb the impact and the impact that human society exert on the planet. So in the past, 50 years, 100 years ago, Earth was very big and human impact was very small. And maybe people still have that mentality, nature is so big, so they can absorb, Mother Nature can absorb everything that we do, and all embracing, so there's no punishment afterwards. That was not the case. That's not the case anymore. So the human impact is much, much bigger. And that's depleting the capacity, Earth's capacity also. So the capacity is shrinking, impact is increasing. So in this framework, in this trend, in order to achieve that world sustainable development, development paths need to change. And there's UN Sustainable Development Goals, the SDGs comes in. And what it does, in my mind, is that up until then, biodiversity development, resource management, and climate change all worked in silos. It was like treated as a sectoral issue. But as I showed you on the interlinkages of the SDGs, SDGs unite them, bring them closer together so that it addresses the single issue, the sustainable development in their respective sectors. But they try to achieve the interlinkages and try to achieve the maximum synergies and minimize the trade-offs. So it's a very nice global platform that allows this integrative thinking. In terms of resource, there's a resource gap. For example, in order to achieve the 20 Aichi targets, the one estimate is that the world will need to spend anywhere between $150 to $440 billion a year. That may sound very a lot, but And it is a lot. Currently, the world is spending about $50 billion a year against what's required, the $150 to $440 billion. On the other hand, and the ecosystem services received by people on the planet, it's much, much bigger, $125 trillion a year globally. So this is the benefit that people are receiving from nature. And what it takes to maintain that service is the figures that's at the first hand, at the first line of this slide. So there's a resource gap. It may sound very a lot, but if the world allocate the resources, then what's protecting is much and has much more worth than the investment. So I'm going ahead of myself. It's not a cost, but it's an asset investment. The ecosystem services received is $125 trillion annually. Funds to achieve biodiversity, funds to secure that service is only $150 to $440 billion. If you do nothing, cost of inaction on biodiversity, it will grow to $14 trillion a year by 2050. Another estimate between, this is actual, 1997 to 2011, it's estimated that the ecosystem services of worth of $4.3 to $20 trillion US dollars was lost by land use change. So it's we're receiving a lot, but we are not paying, so we don't realize. But if you put it on the economic term like this, some people don't like it, but some people do understand this meaning. If we take proactive action and take action now, it's much cheaper than waiting a few years and start seeing the effect. And then that may be too late and too expensive. It's not just costly aspect, but this is an estimate of the piece by UNDP. It said SDGs are $12 trillion opportunity for the private sector. So there's a lot of things, a lot of opportunity for the businesses to gain from the momentum of SDGs. And what's emphasized, that the author emphasizing here, is that multi-stakeholder partnership is what is a trick to unlock the huge business opportunity under SDGs. Before I finish the first part, I'd like to show you something more concrete so that what I've been saying is clearer to you. This is the slide that Pavan gave me and gave me authority, or gave CI Japan staff, encouraged us to use to make the point of the private benefits and the societal benefits, or the value of nature, and how easy to fall in the trap of just looking at economic gains when you talk about environmental issues. So this is an example, economic example, from shrimp farms in southern Thailand. If you look at the private gain of converting mangroves into shrimp farm, you gain about $10,000 per hectare as a shrimp farmer. And on the other hand, if you keep it as a mangrove, you only get about $600. If you remove the subsidies that you receive for that conversion, the benefit is much smaller. The shrimp farm benefit is much smaller, a little more than $1,000. So it's much less attractive. And if you take a longer time frame, longer time horizon, after 5 years, the shrimp farm is no longer productive. You had to do a lot of restoration work. So it will cost a lot. On the other hand, if you consider the ecosystem benefits that mangrove provides, in terms of storm protection of fisheries, nurseries, and so on, the economic value is $12,000 a hectare. So there's a huge difference in the benefit and loss if you take a longer time frame and wider perspective. And this just gives you the view that completely different views. However you look at it, if you are short-term vision and look at only for your benefit, you see on the graph on the left-hand side, you will go and convert the mangrove forest. But if you are, for example, a government official, look at the value, multi-dimensional value of mangrove forest, then you will decide to keep mangrove. So the dialogue like this need to take place in order to have a sustainable world and try to, in the interest of addressing delivering the benefits to the maximum number of people for the long term. That description might have been very difficult, too technical. So there's a very short video that will capture that essence. This is one of the piece from the CI's campaign, Nature is Speaking. The idea is that what will nature will tell us if nature had a voice? This is a voice from Mother Nature.
Some call me nature. Others call me Mother Nature. I've been here for over 4.5 billion years. 22,500 times longer than you. I don't really need people, but people need me. Yes, your future depends on me. When I thrive, you thrive. When I falter, you falter. Or worse. But I've been here for eons. I have fed species greater than you, and I have starved species greater than you. My oceans, my soil, my flowing streams, my forests, they all can take you or leave you. How you choose to live each day, whether you regard or disregard me, doesn't really matter to me, one way or the other. Your actions will determine your fate, not mine. I am nature. I will go on. I am prepared to evolve. Are you?
There's another video, other videos online, but I didn't have it. I don't have it on the computer. Did anyone recognize the voice? Yeah, that was Julia Roberts. Yeah. So online, I encourage you to visit CI website and see the rest of the videos. Ocean is like Harrison Ford and soil Ed Norton and so on. So those celebrities. We are working pro bono basis, most of them, and try to deliver the message to the world so that we can achieve sustainable world.